Okay, so we're trying to understand this Yerushalmi. Thank you very much. We're trying to understand the Yerushalmi, this tussle that took place between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu over the Luchos. Hashem's trying to take the Luchos back. Moshe's Gavri Yerushal Moshe V'chatfon. Moshe takes the Luchos back. And then he breaks them. So we discussed, we understand now what was going on there. We see a bit more now, we'll clarify it before we go weiter. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood in the Chet HaEgel, the Koyach of Bechira. He understood how far Bechira goes. And he also understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Kala, Klal Yisrael, the opportunity to prove her commitment to the marriage, not because the chosen came in a blaze of glory with gifts and presents and everything, and she was completely blown off her feet, but even in the worst situation. So we'll see now, we'll pick that piece up now. What we also explained, and we're going to go into this much more detail, is the difference between Luchos Rishon and Luchos Sheni. We saw the Chazal in the Gemara in Eruvin. If the Luchos Rishonis hadn't been broken, you would never forget anything you learned. No nation would have been able to rule over Klal Yisrael if we had Luchos Rishon. So when Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the Luchos, look what he gave us. He left us with a shattered mess. It's almost impossible, not almost, it is impossible to remember your learning without enormous effort. And we know that the nations had some shlita over us. The Luchos Rishon are made by Hashem. It would be no confusion. Everything would be crystal clear. When Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, he knew that's what he was doing. He was taking that away from us. So why did he do that? But in that phase one, in that total clarity, the color doesn't get an opportunity to prove. You would never leave Sinai. The clarity, the brilliance of HaSinai, the har kegigis, the fear that came, not because Hashem held the gun against our head, but the matzav was so poshut that you couldn't go against it, that would have carried on forever. We would never know for sure if in difficult situations, would the nation continue keeping the Torah faithfully to Hashem. That's what was being set up. Okay, let's go weiter. Ein Test. Moshe Rabbeinu Haven Shirutsoin Shal Yashemis Barach Ulatet Lakalev Sharut Lochir Es Atzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he has a moment. We're going into phase two here for the Kala, for Klal Yisrael to prove herself. Lechenu Shomer Es Aluches, and therefore he broke the Luches. Now, Klal Yisrael has to toil in her Torah. They have to go and you have to hair split every drop of ink. To go clarify all the doubts you have. And to reveal the love you have for Hashem. From you, not because he's dazzling you. On the contrary, it's going to be very rough. You'll have to find it inside. The fact that you're in Golis and the nations are ruling over us and tormenting us. I'm a fortune pisher at Sivo Ibshala Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Psal Lecha Hanush Yeshel Lecha. It's got to come from you. All the Giloy, the hidden, the depths, the mysteries of Torah have to become yours. You go and you look and you question and you learn and you battle and you mine the Torah with your doubts. You go write that Torah on the heart, on the luach libcho, on the tablets of your mind. It's not coming from outside anymore. The Torah's got to come from inside. Luach libcho yafuch leluchu yisabris kefe shenema, kosvom al luach libcho. Write them on the tablets of your mind. V'amnam. Akachama kodesh bochum ayusha, yosha keach sheshevata. Hashem says to Moshe, that was the question we had. Why did Hashem say Yashakach? Hashem's trying to take away the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu takes him away from Hashem. He's Mikaber and Hashem, then he breaks him. Hashem says, well done. What's the well done? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was miskaven to the Rotzon Hashem. Sherotzon Yeshua has the pony mesuyam begilu haTorah. Hashem wanted phase two. He wanted to create a situation of phase two, and Moshe Rabbeinu was miskaven to that. And Moshe Rabbeinu set up that moment, and Hashem was very happy with him. But that kach yoichel Yisrael lochiach is tvukos of enomosom leHashem. Now Klal Yisrael can prove her dveikus and faithfulness to Hashem in phase two. In phase one, there's nothing to prove. It's not you. In phase one, you're just being dazzled off your feet. When that gets taken away, now you have to go inside yourself and with your bechira build your Torah. Questions, comments, outrageous. He was first. Phase two. By breaking the luchos.
So wasn't the chetah
specifically? Had there not been a chetah egel, I don't know what would have been. There was a chetah egel. From the chetah egel, Moshe Rabbeinu understood the koyach of bechira. And he understood that Hashem was taking away the Torah from us. He was taking away Luch Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're not taking away Luch Rishon. I'm taking it, I'm breaking it, because we're going into phase two. The ancient Tessa Sagadola, by the way, did the same thing. Well, what happened? What was the interface from before the ancient Tessa Sagadola to after the Tessa Sagadola? We lost prophecy, we went into Chochmah. What is it between prophecy and Chochmah?
Prophecy is phase one.
Yeah, but what's the difference between prophecy and Chochmah? Chochmah Adif Minovi. You have to toil, it's yours. It's yours. You have to build it and develop it and correct it. Prophecy, you have to make yourself into a prophet. That's not light work. But you get it from Hashem. Chochmah is you give it back to Hashem. It's yours. You have to build it.
Inside,
it's outside of you. There's miracles happening. There's miracles happening outside of you. It doesn't change you. It's only when you take away the miracles and you go into the darkness, then you have to change you. You have to build yourself. That's the nutshell. Victorious, yeah, but that's what's going on. And that's how Hashem created the world. Macrocosmically, we were with Hashem. And the Shamas were Dovak in Hashem. And after all said and done, where are we going to be? Back, Dovak in Hashem. So over 6,000 years of torture for. That's the point. It's not you. You didn't do anything for that. You have to build it and earn it so it's yours. I always tell the guys in my Gemara Shia. We learn a Gemara and we have a Rashi. We have a Kashon Rashi. So why do they have a Kashon Rashi? Because I showed them the Kashon Rashi. That's not good enough. This has to become your Kashon Rashi. This is going to be bothering you. And if it's not bothering you, you just have a nice kasha. Wow, shmaka kasha rabbi. Well done. Good kasha. Wow. I wish I could do that. Not worth very much. The Rashi's got to be bothering you. It's got to be your kasha. Rashi's kasha or Tosis's kasha on Rashi. Tosis got such a gavaldika kasha on Rashi. Not good enough. It's got to become your kasha on Rashi. You've got to be bothered by what Tosis is bothered by Rashi. That's Lucha Shani. It's inside of you. It comes from you. By the way, I'll show you this. When you were born, this happened to you. When you were in your mother's belly, womb, you knew the whole Torah. there was a light on your head that shone from one end of the world to the other, then you knew Kula Torah Kula. When you come out, what happens? You forget the whole Torah. Brilliant. I don't know how much a malach gets paid an hour these days. Stop, it's a big salary. So you waste 9 months of his life teaching the Torah just so you can forget about it? What kind of a business is this? The vort is that's phase one. You get given the whole Torah. That gets taken away. Now what do you have to do? You have to go take the Torah that's inside of you and bring it out. You don't have to take anything from outside of you and bring it in. You've got it all already. You just have to go extract it. How do you do that? By learning. Why that's that, I don't know. Why that's set up that way, that's not my business. But that's what's happening when you're learning. And you sense it sometimes. You very often, you understand something, you learn something, it's like you kind of have this sense that you knew this already. Sounds familiar. Huh? MSA, that's my, I don't know. Yeah, okay, that's why. Anyway, that's just some of the background here.
Phase one, whether it's Revelation, Parson 9, or still by Scraven, where's the order in that? Like, if we stayed with the first school, we never would have forgotten our daughter, our learning. Where's the
order? Good question. Where was the I'll explain to you. He's explaining, but so crystal clear and everything's so clear. Where's the Bechira? Where do you have Bechira? So let me answer your question with a question. Where was Adam Arishon's Bechira? You know that he had Bechira. He spent a lot of time discussing his Bechira. His Bechira was very different to the Bechira we have, no doubt. But he had Bechira. We don't really understand his Bechira because he was Kulu Kodosh. He didn't have a schmeck of evil in him. The evil was all outside of himself, and he had Hashem right here staring in his face. Yeah? And even there, he used his Bechira incorrectly, but he had Bechira. Klal Yisrael saw Esamako, Kriyas Yamsur, the Chosen dazzled them off their feet. They said, Ma'asev and Nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them reward. They were praised for that because it was an act of Bechira. How you can have Bechira when things are that blatantly clear? I don't know, but we do have. I don't know. So that's a tiver. That's an interesting discussion. There you have a conflict of ritzonos. The reason why a person smokes when he knows he shouldn't, or he knows that the next puff is going to kill him and he wants to live, that's a conflict of ritzonos. And you can only have one rotzen at a time. That's a different discussion. The tolu. How much of that's Bechira and not? That's an interesting discussion. But Bessel discusses that. You have a very strong rotzer to live and a very weak rotzer to have a cigarette. In the face of living or having a cigarette, the desire to live is much bigger. And yet, the desire to have a cigarette always wins. How does that happen? How does this little 9-pound weakling whip Oig Melech HaBoshen every time? How big is your rotzer to live? Test it. Test it. If a mouse hold again against you and say, if you have a puff and that cigarette, I'm going to blow your brains out, you would never have the cigarette. Because your rotzen to live is much bigger than the rotzen for a cigarette, yet the rotzen for a cigarette always wins. That's the story of Ritzoyna. Okay. How does Bechira fit in there? You have to look, Rav Dessler discusses it. The more you discuss it. Nachon. Again, we don't really understand what the theory is. And all these different manifestations and forms and different pieces. Odlo nichnasti, the sugya of Bechira. We have some vague idea. We know what we're talking about a little bit. But all these nuances and subtleties, what exactly is Bechira? It was taken away. They were in phase two already. No, I'm not going anywhere. No, they had Bechira there. For sure, Baba Cheta Egel, they had Bechira, obviously. We'll see. We're going to go into that now. We're going to discuss now the 2,000 years of Mashiach, what it is and how that relates to Luchashayim. That's a phase two.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see.
Before we go fighting, let me just give a little bit Donner Kapschus for the Shcheta Ego. Once we're on the subject, it's important to have a little. We don't know what happened there. We don't understand. I'm not coming to explain what happened there, but just to be Donner Kapschus a little bit, make it easier for you. It was the Erev Rav, but we're okay to say that. Aval. Klal Yisrael stood at Sinai, and Hashem gave them the Torah, and they died. Whatever that means. So Moshe Rabbeinu revived them, got up and said, you ready for round two? They said, yeah. They died again. They said, that's it, no more. And they understood that they couldn't deal with it. It wasn't shaykh for them to listen to Hashem talking. There was no ways they could get the Torah anymore. They realized that. Therefore, the only thing that was going to get them the Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you got to deal with this. That's why we pay you this heavy salary to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. You go and get the Torah because we can't anymore. Dying and being resurrected is not so nice. Not so pleasant. Twice. And so, Nigma, you go get the Torah. We can't. Genuinely. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, fine. So goes up the mountain. 40 days later, they take out their calculator. Yeah. And it's already Zegvuli. Where's Moshe? They were a bit nervous. Why were they nervous? Because they knew that that Moshe, they were lost. They were finished. Because we knew that if Klal Yisrael doesn't accept the Torah, the world gets turned back to Tov V'Bol. And they can't get the Torah. They need Moshe to get the Torah for them because they can't do it. They tried already. It didn't work. And the Satan starts showing them the world unraveling. Moshe Rabbeinu's Levi is taking place in Shemayim now, live on. You know, like on the big screen there in the midbar, they're watching Moshe Rabbeinu's Leviah, and they're watching the world unravel. The Midrash says that something showed them the world unraveling. They saw the world going back to Tov V'Bol, slowly disintegrating. That's what happened. And they ran to the Levim, and the Levim said, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything looks fine. They ran to the woman. The woman said, I don't know what you've been smoking, but I don't see anything unraveling yet. All fine. But they saw the world unraveling and going back to Tov V'Bol because they understood if Moshe's dead, we can't get the Torah. And therefore, Hashem was going to send the world back to Tov V'Bol. They had to do something. And they came to Aaron, and that was the unfolding of the event. What that little cow was, whatever. I mean, the clusters. And that was supposed to substitute for Moshe, whatever, bigger people, whatever. But that's what was driving them. Driving them was, well, Moshe's not here, so whatever. Okay. What are we going to do? Anybody want the job? No one wants the job, fine, so we'll have to rent a cow. No, that's not what was going on. It wasn't the Etzem, an act of Avodah Zorah. It was, Chris. Not supposed to do that. But what was driving them was the fear of the world's going. We finished, it's game over. That's what the Satan showed them. And he shows that us all the time as well. Sometimes we do something wrong, we get into Matsovim and you think there's no way out of this. I'm finished, I'm done, I've hit rock bottom and I'm gone. And we give up. We miyayish. That's the same thing that happened there. We never give up. There's always hope. There's always more. Imagine if the Hashmonim had come into the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash, and they found this destroyed, destructive, physical and spiritual building of theirs. And there was no oil. There was nothing left. It was kulu tuma tuma, meshukat. It was, I can't even say the word. It had become despicable. You imagine they walked in there and said, oh, wow, okay. No point in being here. There's nothing left here. Let's go home. Imagine if they'd done that. Where would we be today? There's nothing left of us today. What did they do? They found a little, because there's always that little obvious. There's always something more left in you. It's all Ragonus. There's always something more in us. No matter how low you fall, no matter how bad it is, the world's unraveling and it's going back to Tov V'Bol. Yeah, it's okay. Relax. It's all good. Always hope. They gave up hope.
We say that
they see reality the way it's supposed to be seen. What did they try? They went back to Avodah Zorah. They gave up what they was. I'm not saying this is the, yeah. You know, I haven't, I'm not. Don't write this down and say Scherzer now solved the problem with the okay. I'm not. I'm just a little bit of a donna cup. It wasn't just some wild mashuganers. Okay, you said it. I don't know. I'm a lady, so I wasn't involved. Mommy strain came afterwards when I had to kill my brothers with a sword. And I don't know how to do swords, and I don't decide to. And I'm not exactly. That's what telling yourself. That's what Levy was asked to do. Go out there and wipe out 3,000 people. You know, Levy, that's like, what do you mean? I'm a man of peace. Okay. Out of 6 million people, maybe 2,000 that deserve the high visa today. Okay. Whatever. That's not our subject. The Seder. Let us take one further step. Yeah, and yeah, you'll see phase one and phase two at all the different levels. It's quite amazing. You'll see the whole sugya of Tzadik Viralo, we'll see Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Kiva. You see this interfacing through Torah all the time. Nitein loy ma'oid. Let's say a little bit more. Ki aluchos harishreini mesamli mesalpaim shnei satayra ad lechub and abayis rishoy. The Luchos Rishonim, we're stepping a bit back now. We're going to look at this from a different perspective, but the same idea. Luchos Rishonim are the 2,000 years of Torah until Churban Bais Rishon. This is not a historical discussion, so the dates won't stick. Watch. In that period, there was still clarity about the Metzias of Hashem via the Nisim. And the prophecies that were revealed was open prophecy, were open miracles. That was up to Churban Bais Rishon. From Bais Rishon to Bais Sheni was an interface, was a Bein Hashmoshes. Lumezois Churban Bais Rishon va'elech hischila masechtes arucha shel 2,300 Yemos HaMashiach. It really started be'ikah be'Churban Bais Sheni, because there was still prophecy between Rishon and Sheni. It was even the prophecy afterwards, because ancient Nefer Gadoyle had Nevi'im on it. So it's not a clear-cut point. It was a phase, a transition phase. But that's what happened after Bais Rishon, we started entering into this phase called Yemois HaMashiach, Sheben Nitni Hizdamnut L'Kala L'Ochich Hizitzoyne Vest V'Kosem B'Chosem. 2,000 years of Torah was the Chosem revealing in the Gali himself to the Kala. And now the lights go off and you as the color get to prove how committed are you to this marriage when things are not so, you know, when the honeymoon ends, are you still going to be around? V'achayim k'nes Yisrael, she rorosa ahuva shel Hashem Yisbarach, hochicha lo'irech kol shnei sagolus, dveikas atzume v'niflo b'choson. That doesn't mean every Jew all the time. It means k'nes Yisrael b'klali. Proved through the dark, difficult years. Story after story after story, there are millions of stories of Yidden in the worst, who knows what kind of situations. Prove their dedication and imunah to Hashem. Atra Amru Chazal, Tzadikim Amideli Bechubonoi, Yesem Mi Tzadikim Sheamideli Bevinyonoi. The Midrash in Shir HaShirim, the Tzadikim that stood with me, that stood by me, during the Churban, more than the tzaddikim that stood by me before the Churban. There's the tzaddikim that lived after the Churban that were able to maintain their tzitkas after the Churban are much greater to me and revealed me more in the world than the tzaddikim that reminded me when the Beis HaMikdash stood. The Koichan Shal Yisrael, Shal Amarot Kol HaTzoret Sh'otu Alayim, despite all the tzoras that came upon them, the tzaddik V'ralo, they stay dedicated, and we're going to bring you out, you'll see, but you know yourself, millions of stories of Yidden that through the worst Nisoinas stayed dedicated and committed and Ne'eman to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know that? How many books have been written just on the last Holocaust, and we've had more than one Holocaust? We've had 2,000 years of Auschwitz. They proved themselves time and time again. So what happens at that moment, in that darkness? That this Ishtoi Kegufa, the Koyach of Bechira, she gam Koyach ha-hismordus, ha-ozus va-chutzpah, which is also that Koyach of being able to rebel with ozus and chutzpah, as we explained above. machlit moret v'lamoid bo'iz neged kol ha'makim alov. In order to exercise your bechira against the Inquisition and against communism and against Christianity and against kol ha'kol ha'golios, you need to exercise your bechira properly. You need ozus v'chutzpah. To fight kevayochel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes ozus v'chutzpah. To stand with strength and dedication against everything that's coming against you. There's always someone around trying to take your Torah away from you in one way or another. For those who are interested in Sefer Netzach, Perek Beis, Masha Kosov, Bia Div Yerushalm, and Iskelil, Shal Dvoros, who shtotter toy dvareinu. What he says, yeah, is based on the Maharal there. Go have a look there. What I'm saying here is based. The explanation of that Yerushalmi is based on the Maharal. There, I am Sham, those who want to go. Vamnam, kach melamdeinu haramban. Ki shleimus avas amishol levoire nikeres davke mitoicha hester vatsoros. The shleimus of the love that Klanisol has for Kodesh Baruch Hu is only recognizable when there's hester and tzoros. Rambam, sorry, I'm keeping you. Kimi avas Hashem itchem bocho bochem, shero ischem roim lizav lefonov, v'nifcharim la'ave yoisim mikolomim. You're more deserving of my love than all the other nations, Hashem says. Ki anifchaloi v'adu lizboil les oive b'kol ha'bo alav mimenoi. Because the beloved one is able to sovel, is able to take and tolerate and carry as a burden all that I bring upon them. Whatever I throw at Klal Yisrael, they take, they accept. That's why I love them so much. Yisrael roim lakach mikolam, and Klal Yisrael is more deserving of than all the other nations. Kumo she'amru in Beitza, shleisha ozim hay. There are three ozim. Yisrael b'umois, Klal Yisrael, when they're surrounded by the umois, kiyam delo b'nisreinus, o Yehudi otzlov, says the Ramban. Because the umas come to you and they say, or you're going to be a Jew, or you're going to kiss the cross. And the Yidden always decided to be a Jew, even if they're taking the bullet, or burnt, or whatever. Children went to their deaths burnt, rather than convert. Well, one example. Okay, to be continued. Huh? What?
Yeah.
Once again.